Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Susan Quinn, who is the founder of Circle S Studio. Susan has a 30-plus year track record of running her agency and has become a trusted ally to C-level executives from Fortune 500 companies to growing national and regional firms by focusing on the key levers impacting growth. Today, we're going to be discussing Susan's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Susan.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure.
So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So, you know, what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I have a curiosity that I just cannot calm down. So that is one thing about me. I am a continuous learner. And I love creating new things. My stance is around how do you always better your best, and surrounding myself with people and clients that have a similar mindset. So that's what motivates me, is seeing progress, and help people see things perhaps from a new lens that they hadn't thought of it. And that's where powerful teams come from, and that's what motivates me.
I love that. I love how do you always better your best. I think that's a really great thing to live by. So perfect. And how did you originally get into digital marketing?
Well, digital is one aspect of what we do, but a little bit broader, a little more integrated. We are consultants that help foundationally establish the strategy that ultimately is part of usually rebuilding. We don't work with startups, so it's usually a evolution of a brand. And then the digital component, and I will date myself. I think you said 30 years. I'm coming up on almost 40 in this business. So another decade has happened, I guess, since the bio was written on me.
That's impressive.
When I started this, I actually was in marketing with a financial institution, had decided against going to law school, following in my father's footsteps. And I think I got tangled up in all of the really tough language of the legal side of it. And I loved the possibilities and saying things in a slightly different way from a language perspective. And that's what attracted me to marketing and where I am today. But to answer your question on the digital, there were no computers the way we know it today when I started out. The digital thing at the level we know now, it was in the 2000s when it became a thing, and really wondering the relevancy. Can we do this? This isn't my background, but it's where you add expertise when you see the market shifting. And
yeah.
The basic media and tools that we had forever shifted. They are shifting. They shift every single day. So digital became a force thing for me to learn. I'm happy to say I can sit at the table and have conversations on it, but I do rely on the expertise of the digital team and really the web. We are focused on the web and optimizing them so that people can find you and know who you are. So we don't have this huge breadth and depth of digital. We rely on other experts in that area to supplement us.
Okay, interesting. And then, so Tell me about your journey of starting Circle S Studio and what it was like in those early days.
How much time do we have today? let's see. I started in the financial industry. I was a retail project manager. My first child was born, and I knew that I probably wanted to do something different. I'd observed the agency we were with, and certainly great agency, but I always felt always is such a strong word. I felt that there was a whole lot being presented that made better them and have awards for them. And I wondered what it would look like if the reward was really the client, that it was through their metrics, through their ahas versus anything that an agency would get. So that was the first mindset. And more of this holistic, where is strategy based? I just sometimes creative took the lead, and I get that, but based on what? So after my daughter was born, I resigned from my position. They asked, would I consider managing a project that I had started? I had done the research on internally, and I said, sure. So I continued writing it and producing it. And pretty quickly, I was like, gosh, this is like a little small business. So my father was an attorney. He got me incorporated. I hung a shingle. It was just my name. And I started doing work in the financial industry. Fast forward about 10 years into it, I was tired of doing projects, wanted to have more of a holistic approach that we could impact brands. Mm-hmm. And then merged with a partner who had the creative chops. Maybe I had more of the strategic writing, the project management.
Yeah.
And so those two came together. And then here we are 20 some years later, we've grown Circle S. We had a few clients in Richmond, Virginia, and now we work across the nation. So it's been a journey. I would say we're a boutique firm. We mm-hmm. know what we do well, we know what we really don't do well, and we stay in that lane.
That's so interesting. And then, so, you know, has it been around 40 years since you've started the agency?
Coming up on it, my daughter, I think hopefully she's not listening to this, she'll be 38 in February. So I always know how old the agency is because I started it the year she was born.
Yeah, that's so impressive. So, you know, how do you steadily, you know, bring in more leads into your agency to grow the agency over time?
I really appreciate that question. And it's certainly what we hopefully do for our clients. And one of the things I say internally, if we are going to talk it, we better walk it.
Yeah.
And that is a mantra for me and for the team. How do we do that? We believe in thought leadership and clarity of who our sweet spot client is. And no, we can't be all things to all people. So we specialize in business to business, professional services. We know where they are, and we constantly educate versus sell. And what it does is it creates a funnel of people seeking more information. And then we continue at a macro, micro, nano level. Are we sending out the information, certainly in the verticals that we want? And then taking it even further, who do we really want? Like, we know their name, and we engage and continue to bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
I would say thought leadership and powerful content is our secret weapon, but it's not a secret. Many companies do that, but you will never see us selling ever.
Yeah. You're always just, you know, delivering that value, being helpful, offering suggestions, it sounds like. And just when you're able to deliver that value, you create such a different type of relationship than when you have someone who's trying to sell you something. It's off-putting. So
and that's just in my experience what I have learned, that a laundry list of what you do. I mean, at some point it's important, all right, but the why are we even discussing this? How can we help you grow your company? And I mean, isn't that what it's all about, truly? That there's growth for all of us. So that's the lane that I almost feel like we're educators and we happen to educate and be able to personify that through the work that we do, consulting and in the digital sense and in the overall brand of a company.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have, you know, a prospect who comes to you, how do you, you know, say they're shopping around to find an agency who's a good fit for them. How do you guys set yourselves apart and differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
We are fascinated with what we call best in class, highest performing companies. And that is one area we're setting ourselves apart. We have just concluded some original research, proud to have, we had a third party conduct it for us. And then we are using that as information for what is happening in the marketplace and what are the top ways you can grow a company. So we know three experiences that we do best. It really transcends a tool, but it is creating an experience, particularly right now, attracting and retaining talent and clients. And how do you do that with so many distracting things? So yeah. I would differentiate ourselves by being forward thinking of what's coming and then how to impact it today and to think about, and we're constantly, here's something you may need to think about. So we are helping them to look forward, not just on what they are today. So it's both of those things.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I love that. And also focusing on the best in class aspect, I think is a really unique way to position yourselves as well. You know, like this is what our goal is to get you to be best in class.
Yeah. And that research, we will continue to be putting that out. We've got a new website for us coming out soon, and a portal will be dedicated to that. And we will continue to all learn together from it. We don't have all the answers, but we're fascinated asking the questions.
Yeah, exactly. Love it. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about what you think makes a happy client. So how do you keep your clients happy? And then at the end of the day, hopefully so that they will bring in referrals to you.
I think the table stakes for all of us is delivering on time, on budget, clarity of communication, and having ownership of when something doesn't go right, you own it and you correct it.
Yes.
And you don't point fingers. So in my experience, that would just be high level, but the building deep relationships, and I mean, going below the surface, you know, but, and not relationships, meaning you care and they see it. You're not just, it's not the status quo, but you're anticipating. You make them look good. You want to be the trusted peer for them. That they really don't want you going to the competition because they don't want the competition to get what they're getting. And that's our motivation. If we can deliver, I would say, beyond expectations, mm-hmm. and own when we don't, there seems to be for us, and we are grateful that we keep them longer than maybe the industry average, not for all, but certainly for where we align.
Yes. So that, I love that. So just, you know, going above and beyond, and then also really having that communication dialed in so that you're managing those expectations and also taking ownership, you know, whenever something, you know, doesn't go quite as planned, you know, you take ownership of that. I think that's a great recipe for success because, yeah, at the end of the day, when you've got that relationship dialed in, that communication, and then you're also able to deliver those great results, that's a really great formula for a happy client.
Well, it is. And I started at the beginning, I've had this quest for knowledge. And I mean, every day, if you're not growing, you're dying. And a part of us dies each day. I've been listening to a podcast that's based on the Stoics, and I minored in classics. So it's almost resurrecting some things that I loved in the beginning of my college career of Marcus Aurelius and Seneca and Cato, and they just were great philosophers with interesting mindsets. And I was fascinated then, and I love that it's reminding me today. But my point is, you just have to remain curious. And for me, I went back to school because I wanted to perfect, well, perfect, nothing's perfect, the whole side of the emotional intelligence. And what does it mean? And so I'm certified to be an executive coach and leadership and developing leaders and helping them understand communication and how to speak. So that's not a side gig, but it is definitely a path that we're continuing to take and certainly want to model it and guide our team clients, that it's really the unintended consequences of communication, verbal, nonverbal. We don't mean it, but it's how it takes place. And I think too, you ask, how do you keep clients and helping people to really listen of what's not been said? Ooh, it is, we're so on the gerbil wheel and we're checking the boxes. But did you really hear, not really, but what the impact was or how they're feeling? Because if we can anticipate that and clarify it at that point versus you're way down the line and something has not met expectations. So that's something I think about all the time and certainly want our team to think about too.
Yeah. So would an example be, you know, perhaps, you know, maybe you ask a client if they understand and then, you know, maybe they hesitate before they say, yes, I understand. So maybe they're just giving you that kind of nonverbal cue that they didn't comprehend completely. Or, you know, maybe you sent a monthly report to them. I'm not sure if you guys do that or not, but, and maybe they didn't respond. Instead of letting that go month after month of them not responding, just really paying attention to these little details and then being proactive in resolving it before it gets out of hand. Is that kind of what you mean?
I think that's a great example. And continuing to find ways, you need to know who's at the table and who you're communicating with. And does your style match their style? And
yes,
certainly understanding the verbal, the written communication. Do they want short? Do they want long? Are they following up? Like one thing, if someone sends us an email asking where it is, then there's something on that's we're not communicating well.
Yes.
And so don't email back, pick up the phone. Sorry that you had to ask this and here's where we are. So you re-engage them. Okay. You may have been 3 days in a seminar and you couldn't get there, but it's a reminder what communication success looks like for that individual. And we all are going to have preferences, but being in tune to that.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. And then just learning from that as well. Yeah. And yeah, trying not to make that same mistake more than once.
Exactly. That's the getting better. You just, okay, well, I did that before. Let's not repeat that one.
Yeah, exactly. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing Circle S Studio?
Well, I think recently COVID definitely was a speed bump. And I'm going to even move before that. The recession in 2008-09, it hit the industry of who we were serving at a pretty high level, both engineers, architects, the financial side of things pretty hard. So when you have your clients hit hard in a recession, and that one, I don't know if you remember it, but we almost didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
I know this, hope is not a strategy. We held on too long for hope that it would end and it would get better. And it did have an impact on our capital. And I think what I've learned is just that hope is not a strategy, and the metrics and the dashboard and what formula needs to be there for success was crystal clear when COVID hit. So we had Command Central. We knew exactly the metrics we needed. Luckily, it didn't hit the industry that we serve as hard as COVID. And then the challenge too of attracting and retaining talent, the headwind of that. Don't know that I could have anticipated that at the level. I mean, like 46 million people changed jobs last year. That's a big number. Yes. And then when you dissect it, then you can go generationally. And some generations are moving faster because they want a higher pay or whatever. That's been a challenge, but I will tell you where we are now. Hold true to your beliefs, your guiding principles, keep that long-term view, a short adjustment, know what is true and authentic. You've got to read the marketplace and know you can't, you know, give an example of a buggy whip. You know, you can continue back in the day. Well, you got to have the buggy whip, except for if no one's ever on the horse again, your buggy whip isn't going to help you. You know, you just there, and there can be disruption and you have to be able to know where to go. But talent, the human capital part of it, was a challenge I didn't anticipate and has been one that I've been climbing right now. And I feel like we're doing it better. Mm-hmm. And it's really all about the talent around you. So we seek high talent and we have a high bar. If you would prefer not to stay at the high bar and work very little, then it's probably not a good fit at Circle S. And I'm okay with that.
Yes. Yeah. You know exactly what you're looking for. And then, so what have you learned about the hiring process when you're trying to find that ideal candidate? Is there anything that, you know, you've learned along the way with regards to hiring?
Well, read the tea leaves of where you've been successful. When you think about the hires that are what stands out and where does it align with your own guiding principles, your own core values? We have core values. Everyone can recite them. We hire and yes, even let people go if they're not living the core values of respect, collaboration, and drive. If you picked up the phone, I would say call anyone at Circle S today. And if they can't say them, then report back to me. So it is how we reward what we think about. So that is huge. Stay true to that. It's your true north and it will serve you. So that we have a clear vision and you either buy into it or you don't. And then how we do it, you know, there's flexibility. We want people to lead. It's not a time, it's a mindset. And then just finding where it consistently, those patterns, you just know them better. I think we don't do it quickly. We want to hear from them. We want to immerse them into our culture as much as we can. Mm-hmm. Do you like it? Does it work for you? And does it work for us? And do you want to help drive what we want for clients? And just along the way, you will start to see, we actually will have people do a bit. We want to know how they think. I mean, you can always show up on the first day and give your best self. Really understanding consistency, is that how you think all the time? So we look for that. What is your consistent how you show up? And if there is this tendency to keep learning that they don't have all the answers, but they within their area, they're good, usually a good fit. And we don't have, if I can perfect that, I'll let you know, but we're continuing that you. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end of whether it's a prospect or the last day of someone's employment. And you want to honor that experience and journey. And I would say, just always take the high road. Always, always, always. I've just never seen where it didn't help.
Yeah. And I love how you're always looking through the lens of, you know, what are my core values when you're making those hiring decisions or unfortunately those firing decisions as well. Because I agree. I think that's so important to just ensure that you are delivering consistent quality of work. And when you're able to hire those people that fit, that, you know, feel that vision and are able to operate with that in mind, I think that's so important.
You know, we don't need a million people. We just need this core team. And we do have a lot of our circle of resources and it's the same thing. We treat them just like the Circle S family. If you're allowed to say that, I read in a Harvard Business article, you can't say family anymore. People have dysfunctional families. I don't know. But I think construct of family-like, that, and for me, that just means you care.
Yes.
You got your heart.
You know, I agree.
You fall on a hard time, you better believe we're going to show up with a meal for you, whatever that hard time might be. So in that sense, we're family-like.
Yes. I love that. So where do you see Circle S Studio in 5 years' time?
We will be working with more top best-in-class companies, and they will, I would say we have a nice group now, but that will be expanded. And when people think about high-performing best-in-class companies to work for, you will think of Circle S, and you will think of us as a consulting firm that delivers the best brand, employee, and client experience, and that we are experts in the experience, and that we are known for that. That's where we'll be in 10 years.
I love it. I love how crystal clear you are on that five-year vision. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Well, this one may surprise you, but Think and Grow Rich. It's an oldie, Napoleon Hill. And I've read it several times. I listened to it on audio several times. And it's really, I talked about the Stoics. It's really the same type of mindset of how you think and how you show up, with some positivity and the power of thought. It's my go-to book. And are there others in? Yes, I've loved them. But that one, Changing How I Think and Show Up, was probably the most profound change within my own life, personally and professionally. So I would have to say that one.
That's an amazing recommendation. I love that. And what does your morning routine look like?
I definitely have a morning routine. It's my hour of power and focus. So it looks something like this. I can visualize it the night before, so I don't get decision fatigue, and it's something like this. It is exercise, and I try to get at least 30 minutes of that, and I alternate that. And it may be a Peloton bike. It may be going Orange Theory. I like that. Or a walk in the neighborhood. And some days it may be meditation. But within that, I do my own version of quiet. I actually don't have anything on in that hour. It is my quiet time. I'm clear on the three things I need to get done that day, but I know the master list of that. And then how do I want to show up today?
That's what awesome. Is the one?
And so that would be, and always three things that I'm grateful for. So that is always. And if I could surprise someone with something that was unexpected, who would that be? So I think about that person, that thing, and that's my general routine. But for the most part, when no one can disturb me because I own that time, I set my mind for what I want to do that day.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know it makes such a difference when you can have that really controlled, powerful start to the day, you know, when you've got that me time. It's a great way to just clear your mind, and you just feel like you're in more control of the day instead of having the day control you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because life will control you. You have to, urgent, the important, well, suddenly everything is urgent and important, but having the clarity of knowing what is.
Yes, exactly. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I would say I'm always looking at CEOs that have a long track record, mm-hmm. and a long term. So some of them you may not know. There's one, a longstanding client. I feel like I learn from him every day. Once again, because of his mindset, how he treats people. His mission, his vision is around building uniquely remarkable buildings and relationships. And someone who has consistently done that for almost 30 years, I look for not the one hit wonders and they're the latest, but those that stand the test of time, that have principles that could be different from mine. Different leaders should do different things. There isn't one way to do it. And I think I'm fascinated by someone that's different from me, but what can I learn from them? So it's hard to just say one, but I like to follow and learn from others always.
Nice. That's awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
I mean, right now, just internally, Slack is my go-to. I think it keeps us on task and it's easy. Also love Otter app that can help us record our meetings and then I can extract what I need. You know, just anything that can move. It's like a productivity hack that it's just a little bit smarter to do it. But those are, in terms of productivity, those are two that have helped me the most in the last couple of years.
Great. Yeah, those are definitely two great recommendations. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I believe the confidence to listen more and maybe talk less.
That's interesting.
To actively listen. I think when you are leading something, you talk all the time. This podcast, you're asking me to speak, but the power of active listening is a tool that you have to work on and refine. And it's a powerful one.
Yes. I think it's one of those core human needs is, you know, feeling like you're being heard and listened to. So yeah, that's an amazing tip. I love that.
Well, there are three things we all need. We want to be seen, heard, and connection.
Right.
So those three things, are you doing that every day as a leader for others, that they are seen, heard, and helping everyone connect?
Yes. Great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Susan. It was a real pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I've really enjoyed speaking with you.
Well, I have enjoyed it too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.